This interview with David Gordon was recorded on February 15th, 2022, during the Baltimore Youth Film Arts Workshop, Inside Stories, Perspectives on Incarceration.
Well, of course, as y'all know, my name is David Gordon. I'm from Baltimore City. And is there anything else?
You know, how old you are, where you're at.
I'm 51 years old. Well, of course, y'all know I've been in prison.
Yeah.
I've just been released from prison after 35 and a half years. So I don't have a whole lot of fascinating stories about my life because I went to prison when I was 16 years old. So,
wow, 16. Could you talk a little bit about that, Mr. Gordon? What led up to that at 16 years old?
Well, you know, why is this screen looking like this?
Is it just you here? Is that any better? Can you see me?
Yes, I can see you.
Okay. Let me
Oh, okay. All right, here we go.
All right.
Coming from the environment that I came up in, it was a little challenging. You know, and a lot of us, not just myself, have fallen to the streets, whether by incarceration or prison. And a lot of times, I believe, we fall to them is because we choose to idolize the wrong people. Meaning, instead of the guy to just have a normal job, whether or not he's a construction worker, doctor, lawyer, policeman, fireman, we choose to look up to the guys that sell drugs, carry guns, shoot people, you know, and so on. And at the time, we don't really truly get that that's foolish behavior because that's how we was brought up. And you really don't get it till, I guess, you start maturing and really seeing for what it is. Because when I look back on my life, I was foolish because I chose to idolize people that either was going to prison or was going to die. It was no other options. So, but I'm not bitter, right? Like I said, I stayed incarcerated for 35 and a half years, and I am extremely happy to be home. So I'm not going to waste no time on being bitter. What I want to do is I'm trying to position myself in to talk to some kids that they won't make the same mistakes that I made. And I know I may not reach everybody, but if I just can reach a few, it'll be fine by me. And that's all I want to do. Like I say, I'm not bitter. I made a tragic mistake in my life. I paid for it. Since I've been incarcerated, almost everybody has passed away on me. From a mother, grandmother, grandfather, everybody has died on me. And but at the end of the day, I have my freedom. I'm happy. I've been doing a lot of eating. Good. So, I mean, I love it out here. Had I had any idea that road was going to take me down, I probably would have joined the service. I'm serious. Because I can really get into some stories that I've seen as a 16-year-old boy going into Maryland Penitentiary. It was rough. So, with that said, if anybody have any questions, you know, I'm more than welcome to try to help y'all out, whatever y'all trying to accomplish. I mean, I'm here.
Thank you, Mr. Gordon. We're glad you're out, and, you know, we're going to help get your word out there with these interviews. So I think it's a great place. Anna, did you have a question for Mr. Gordon, a little bit about, you know, how he was coming up and where he was going?
Yeah, so I had a question. My name is Anna. It's nice to meet you. My question was, before you were incarcerated, was that something that you ever imagined for your life?
Well, like I say, some of, you know, Well, like I say, you know, a lot of us, you know, chose to, you know, follow the wrong people, right? And what I was doing, I figured that was an option, but, you know, it was an honor for, you know, the possibility to go to prison. You know what I'm saying? Because that's, you know, how we was raised. And I know that wasn't right. You know what I'm saying? But at the time, that's what I thought. You know, the guys that went to the Maryland training schools, the Boys Villages, the Montrose, to Hagerstown, to Old Jail, to all that stuff. These are the guys that we chose to look up to. You know what I'm saying? So did I think it was an option? Probably so. So, I can say that.
Oh, so it's interesting you say that it was like an honor. It was, you know, something that came with the life. So what was
your... And it was foolish. Foolish thinking.
So when did you first kind of get started and involved in that kind of following the wrong people, as you put it? You know, how young did you get started?
I think the first time I ever got in trouble, I think I was probably 12. Yeah, I think I was around about 12. Robbery charge, car theft, drug charges. Yeah, I started off, you know, very young, right? But I mean, I don't fault my parents, because they did the best they could with that. I look back on it, little that they knew, you know what I'm saying? But I chose to follow the wrong people, like I said. Yeah.
So could you talk a little bit more about, you know, the circumstances that led to your incarceration? Is that something you're comfortable sharing about?
A lifestyle. You know, a reckless lifestyle. Right? And I have heard this, had this question posed to me on several times, like, what was I thinking back then, or any other juvenile was thinking back then? Because I wasn't the only one that was a juvenile that, you know, I mean, committed crime. And it's kind of hard to explain a foolish act of a 16-year-old. I mean, I wrestled with that, like, because it was stupid. So now I'm asked that question as a 51-year-old man, and I struggle with it because it was a foolish act. You understand where I'm coming from? So now, how I look at life now, as a citizen, a law-abiding citizen, I might add, it's difficult for me to even try to, like, other than, like I introduced myself, a lot of us chose to follow the wrong people. And this is what happened. A few of my friends was killed. So, like I said, either two things gonna happen. Either you're gonna get killed, we're going to go to jail. And that's what it is.
Absolutely. Well, Tavon, Ebony, either of you want to jump in? Sort of.
Yes. Mr. Gordon, once again, thank you for joining us. And I'm glad to see that you are a free brother. I'm really glad to see that.
Thank you.
I wanted to say that, you know, you had mentioned that you had looked up to the wrong people. And was it a specific individual or a group of individuals in particular in your neighborhood or in your community that you idolized that kind of led you on down that path?
Well, I wouldn't say like one like specific person, because I'm talking about a culture, right? But however, it is two guys that I truly looked up to. Both of them are deceased now. Hmm. You understand what I'm saying? To the streets. I mean, These two guys, I mean, you could tell me no wrong about them. They was older than me, but the way they walked their life, I thought that that's how I want to walk mine, right? And like, and both of them are deceased today. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's what it is. That's what it was.
Gotcha. You have a follow up there, Tavon? Anybody else want to jump in?
Did anyone else want to jump in? I don't want to interrupt anyone.
Well, if not, so you said, oh, go ahead.
No, I just had a question about more about what your childhood upbringing was like. So, like, what is the situation with your parents? And, like, what was that? Like, were you raised in a single family? Or do you have both your parents in your life? And, like, were they influences that tried to divert you from that type of crowd?
Oh, I never knew my father. I can see him the day of tomorrow and he can walk right past him. Never seen the man the day of my life. I was raised by a mother and two grandmothers. I didn't really have no positive role model in my life, right? And that's not to excuse my behavior, right? But I didn't have that in my life. You know what I'm saying? No one to, like, guide me to say, to teach me that some of the things that I thought that was so important then wouldn't be later on in life. I didn't have that. Like I say, not to excuse my actions, but it was rough. So it was rough.
What were those things, Mr. Gordon? Was it money? Was it kind of infamy? What, you know, what kind of lifestyle were you idolizing? Can you just describe that?
Yes, you know, the money, the fake glory, reputation, it's like coming up in that environment, right? It's like the more foolish that you get, the more your reputations go up. Like, the more terrible things that you do, it makes you, in some people's eyes, it makes you look great. And how foolish that may sound, right? And like I say, I just hope I can be able to like try to reach somebody, because I probably messed somebody's life up. Somebody probably looked up to me and done some things. And I'm just trying to redeem myself. That's all. If that's possible, before I leave this world, I just want to do some good. That's it.
Mr. Gordon, if you could go back and talk to your 12-year-old self or your 16-year-old self, what would you say to yourself to prevent yourself from going down that particular path?
Ooh. Mm. Oh, that was a great question. I truly appreciate it.
I appreciate you, you know, giving us your story, sir. I appreciate you.
Yeah. And I've thought about that. What you asked me, I was like, I wonder if I could have somehow could have asked myself, you truly understand what you're getting yourself into? Because, you know, there's a possibility that you do get locked up. And it's a possibility that you're going to be 16 years old, right? And the judge is going to say, son, I send you to life plus 20 years in prison. Mm-hmm. And from there, stay incarcerated for 35 and a half years. Oh, I would tell myself, boy, you better stay in school. You better learn all you can. Because that path you're going down, you ain't going to like it. And like I mentioned earlier, I wish I had somebody, you know what I mean, that, you know, they could have told me that some of these things that I thought was so important wouldn't be later on in life. Someone to teach me how to control my emotions, my desires, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't have that. I truly didn't. But I sit here today to not offer any excuses, but I just wanted, you know, share my story and hoping that, like I say, I just wanted to get to reach somebody, you know what I'm saying, that I can possibly maybe touch somebody that may be just a little reckless and let them know, man, you don't want to do that, man. Look at me. Look at my story. Because I thought I knew it all at 16 years old. Come on. So,
go ahead in there, Anna. What were you going to ask?
You mentioned that, you know, you wish you had someone at a young age that kind of intervened and kind of steered you in the right direction. I wonder if you ever had feelings of, you know, anger or animosity towards the community for kind of, you know, letting you kind of slip through the cracks, so to speak, that didn't take the time to mentor you.
You say, do I have any animosity now?
Yes.
Oh, no. No. Oh, no. Hold on. I want to make sure I truly understand your question. You saying, do I have any animosity now towards the community that I feel like let me down?
I would say at any point from the young age you were at when you first were incarcerated or any time up until today, did you ever have any feelings of anger or animosity towards the community in regards to kind of not taking you under their wing, being that father figure to you that you might have needed?
Well, I went through a phase where I was a little angry at some of the guys that I thought maybe could have directed me in the right direction that were older than me, right? A few years before I was released from prison, but that was it. But like now, do I hold any animosity towards the community? No, because like I mentioned, like when I opened up that I'm not bitter, I don't blame anyone for my situation. I'm free and I'm very happy. Whatever time I have left in this world, I'm not going to spend it bitter. I'm 51. I'll be 52 next month. So I don't have no time to be spending angry. I'm free now. I like it out here. So yeah, I don't hold no animosity towards anyone.
That's really great to hear. And I'm so happy for you that you were able to work through that and, you know, to get to where you are now, that you are able to have that peace and that freedom that you are appreciating and loving now. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's take it back, 35 or so years. You're 16. Sure. The judge says you have a lifetime and 20 years ahead of you. Tell us what that was like, your first day in. You know, tell us some stories. What's it like being 16-year-old in prison?
Well, it was like a gift and a curse. And I'm going to try to explain that. The gift was that I was so young that I didn't fully understand the seriousness of the situation, right? That, okay, if you lose these appeals, you're going to be around 35 years still trying to get your freedom. So that was the gift. The curse was that when I first went into the penitentiary, a lot of stuff was going on. Rapes, robberies, stabbings, killings. So to be pushed in an environment like that at such an age, it was like, because I've said this before, I went from thinking I knew it all to now I'm here and find out that I really know nothing about life. But at this point, it's too late. I mean, concentrated. So, yeah.
Edward, I knew you had some questions about this. Did you want to hop in?
Yeah, so relating to those things you said that you saw, those terrible things, were there any personal accounts that you witnessed, if you're comfortable with that?
Oh, yes. The my first night in the penitentiary, I heard a guy screaming for his manhood because his cell buddy was trying to rape him. My first night there. I mean, that just was just the beginning.
That's terrible. Was there any others maybe later on once you gained more experience in the prison that touched you?
Yes, it went on a lot. But it's like when you're in that type of environment, you have to become numb to a lot of stuff. You can't, it's no compassion, empathy, none of that in there. I don't even know if they know what that is in there. So you have to come numb to it.
So over those 35 years, was there anything that truly surprised you about the prison experience?
Well, I know this is a real small thing because please compare it to the bigger picture. I was surprised when I first went in there that ain't nobody had no fans in there. So, I mean, if you want to talk about being surprised, I was surprised about that because I went there, it was hot, I said, well, can I order a fan? They said, well, we don't have fans in here, young blood. So I was a little surprised about that. But like I say, some of the stuff that was going on in there, I mean, I know it may sound heartless the way I may be coming forth, but you have to, if in that type of environment, if you don't become numb to that, you'll go crazy because there's no other option. You can't say, well, you know what? You know, y'all was right. Yeah, I'm going to have a little bags. If y'all going to send me home, no, that's not an option. You have to deal with it. So.
Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, Mr. Gordon. Nice to meet you.
Hello.
I'm Cam. So you were just speaking about how you had to be like kind of heartless when you were inside. So could you kind of speak about your transitioning out? Did you find that you had to become more of a different person since being out, or, you know, what was that kind of like? Did you have to soften up being out in the world again, or, you know, how was that experience for you?
Oh, well, you know, the transition comes with growth, right? As you grow, and for some of us, it take a little while in prison, but you, once you start seeing things different and you do start to grow into a man, you start leaving the foolish things alone. And you tell yourself, well, like, I didn't know if I would ever get out of prison, but I still made the conscious decision to say, you know what? I'm going to better myself. And I received my GED. I received several alternative violence classes. I've taken plumbing courses. I took typing courses. I've done a lot of things to better myself, right? And with not knowing if I ever get out. So I know this is something that I wanted for myself, right? And I benefited from it, because once it was time for me to go back in front of the judge, I had a body of work to say, listen, this is who I am now. And that's how I was able to get released from prison.
Well, we're
glad. That was great, and congrats to you on all those things. That's amazing.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we got time for about one or two more questions. Anybody want to kind of start wrapping us up?
Yes. Mr. Gordon, is there any particular hobbies or interests that you developed during your time incarcerated? You know, like writing or reading?
Towards the end of my incarceration, believe it or not, or it might be believable, I had become something like a Dr. Phil. Yeah. I've never thought that I had anybody call me Mr. David, Uncle, all the old timer names. I just never thought I had them right. And I had became an uncle figure to some, a father figure to some. And I'm from the relationship they had with the girlfriends to the family. And a lot of them used to come to me with their problems. And sometimes it used to be a little annoying, but, and then it was those days I appreciated. Someone would come to me, you know what I'm saying, with their problems and, you know, just want to talk. Or so, and now, you know, and I kind of liked it, though. I did. Yeah. So I can say that's one of, I don't know if it would be a hobby, because like I mentioned, I want this to be my passion. This is one of my passions, to talk to at-risk youth about their behavior. I truly want to do that. If I can't do anything else, I want to do that.
Go ahead, Tavon, take it away.
Oh, I'm sorry. So in a sense, Mr. Gordon, you would say that, you know, you kind of became that male figure that you so desperately needed in your youth to other youths while incarcerated?
Yes. Yes. And like for my parole packet and my sentence modification, I've had several ex-prisoners that was young, they went home, they wrote letters for me. They spoke on my behalf. So, I mean, and that even made me want to do what I'm trying to do even more. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you here, Mr. Gordon, and we're glad to be a part of that. You know, this video is going to be up. You know, we're going to keep working with Inside Stories to sort of get perspectives like this out to folks. So we really appreciate it, you know, being a part of that.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, y'all.
Thank you. Thank you. If you don't mind me asking, sir, how long have you been out?
I want to say 2 months and about 2 weeks and about 12 hours. I may be a little off with hours, but yeah.
So what's
and
that?
Enjoying every minute of it too.
Yeah, you said the food's better for sure. What else? I mean,
oh my goodness, I know. Yes, absolutely delicious.
I was thinking because Cam has a question about. I don't know. I was just thinking about it being a good transition for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, sure. So if you could be any body or any sane living deceased, whatever you have it. Who and or what would it be and why?
Hold up, say it again.
So, yeah, sure. The question is, if you could be anyone or anything, who would it be and why? Or what would it be?
That's a question I never thought about. But I will say this. Yes. I've been out here long enough to know that nothing's free in life. So I would say I wouldn't want to be any particular person, right? But I would like to just continue to be free and all my bills paid for. And I'll be happy with that. I don't need no big mansion. I don't need no 6 cars. I'm telling you, I'm happy with just being free. But like I said, I understand nothing is free in life. So if I had my bills paid for, I'd be fine with that.
I hear that. That's great.
I love that. That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Mr. Gordon. I love that.
So I have one final question. So what has life been like for you nowadays? How has life been for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, just let me say this real quick. When I first came out, I was nervous as I don't know what. I got released from Western Correctional Institution. They brought me down here in a van, dropped me off in an alley, took the chains off me, gave me a folder with $50 in it, and told me good luck. So I'm walking down this alley. I am scared to death. I don't know where I'm at. So I'm coming down the alley, and just so happened, one of my friends was waiting out there in the car, and he blew the horn. Oh, the relief I had when I seen him, because I was so nervous. And it's like, it has been having its challenges. Like, even just walking across the street is a challenge, right? Being around a lot, I'm starting to get used to being around a lot of people, because I used to be nervous. A few times when I first used to be in the store, of course, you know, I'm going with family members. So I don't want them to leave me, because I don't want nobody to think I stole anything. I mean, just all kinds of crazy things going through my mind. But I'm telling you, I am so happy. I cannot. I don't even know if there's any words to express how happy I am. to be free. And I am appreciating every moment. I'm up every morning. I think I get up in the morning. I think 4:30 in the morning, I'm up. I'm telling you, I'm up. I'm up before anybody. I'm living with my god brother and his wife. I'm up before everybody. Teeth brush, they waiting. Tell my god brother, where we going today? I'm just happy, and like I said before, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not bitter. I just want to live my life as a free man.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for sharing some of those free moments with us. And that's all I've got, unless anyone else has one more closer out. We'll just be in touch, Mr. Gordon. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I actually have one more, if you don't mind, Mr. Gordon.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I noticed that you mentioned the word free a lot, mm-hmm. you know, during this time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given your experiences from then to now, what does free mean to you?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, do we have enough time? Is it going to be another session? Because I'm trying to tell you, listen. I mean, of course y'all would notice none of y'all been incarcerated. You know what freedom is? Waking up and I don't have to worry about, okay, well, why they open the door up today? Oh, no, we locked down because something happened down in another building or something happened downstairs, but they had a stabbing last night. Freedom to me is being able to use the bathroom without another man being in the room. Being able to just, I catch myself sometime just sitting in the chair, looking out the window. I'm talking about some of the small things, going to the store, walking around. You know, now, you know, you take your shoes off coming in the house. Now I ain't got to always walk around with my shoes on tied up tight all the time. So now I can walk around and be barefooted in the house. Ain't got to worry about nobody trying to do something to me. I mean, it just, I know these are small things, but I'm trying to tell you, I appreciate them all, man. I mean, I got a lot more. I mean, if you got time, we talk a lot about it, you know, we want to. But I'm trying to tell you, I appreciate all the little small things. I truly do, man.
I appreciate you, you know, taking the time to talk to us, Mr. Gordon. We really do. It's very beneficial to the program and what we're trying to do here. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank y'all. Y'all made it easy for me. Thank you.